Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, ending in verse 19, where we see that if you find yourself in a position of beginning to waver today, maybe in your commitment to God, or maybe growing cold in your interest of God and not even realizing it, then today's message is for you. In today's message, in Hebrews chapter 3, Pastor Dave teaches a message entitled, Dead Ear, Hard Hearts, and a Wandering Life. We hope you're blessed. Here's Pastor Dave.
Because our roof is metal, the rain is loud. But when the rain subsides and the thunder and lightning goes away by the grace of God, the silence will be deafening. That's how it is in Jesus. A lot of yelling on TBN. A lot of light shows and concerts by these big Christian, churches today. And I love it and it's wonderful. But there is nothing quite like an Elijah-like experience where the stillness of God's gentle, soft voice is being spoken to and you can hear it. Take heed. Here's our warning. Verse 12. Brethren, setting straight who he's speaking to. I don't know how some people say this is not to Christians. No epistle was written to non-believers. This is written to Christians. The topic, the theme, the warning is continuance. Don't get it twisted. He says this here in verse 12, take heed. It's a present imperative. It's you got to do this. It's not a suggestion. And it's this. I don't say things in vain, God says. I don't say things to fill space. To make the pages more complete, to add ink. This is with reason. This is being said as something you must do. You must guard what I'm about to tell you. You must watch over it right now, today, tomorrow, and always, because it's an issue all around you. You understand? That's what he's saying here. It's what gives me my confidence to preach. It's always an issue. Today, if you'll hear his heart, harden not. If you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's speaking. He's saying these things right now. And it's not in vain, and it's not for you to tuck away for the future. I've heard people say that. Pastor, you gave me a word for the future. No, I didn't. I gave you a word in season. I'm preaching to you from the living word of God. It's alive, and it's well, and it's powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It's speaking to you right now. Take it with you, put it in your pocket, and hold on to it. It's for today. If not for you, for somebody else, it's for today. It might be for the future also, but it's for today. God is speaking to his beloved today. He's speaking to you today. He says, take heed, brethren. The devil's favorite word is tomorrow. Man's favorite word is tomorrow. So many times, tomorrow, tomorrow. No, God says today. There is no tomorrow for you to hold on to. Today. Sufficient is the evil of today. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow might not even come, but trust in the one who holds on to your tomorrow should it come today. He says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you that has an evil heart of unbelief. See that there? It's underlined in my Bible. Holy Spirit blessed me with it this morning. That's an evil heart, God says, when you don't believe God. When you hear God's voice and your heart is so hardened that you can't hear him. He says, in departing from the living God. The word departing in verse 12 is a relationship word. It's letting go of a relationship. Be careful constantly. Lest you come to this place and no longer continuing, your heart is filled with unbelief, and you depart from the living God. You're married to the living God. So much greater than 613 ordinances of old. So much greater than religion. So much greater than a list of do's and don'ts. You are married to the living God. Don't depart from that relationship. You've come into that relationship, now continue in that relationship. But exhort one another daily, while it is called, here it is again, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin devastates people's lives. Sin wears a mask. Sin is a liar, and sin in itself is a sermon. I don't have the time to preach it right now, but it's deceitful. It's a liar. It wears a mask. It's never what you think it's going to be. Be careful, he says, of getting tangled up in it. For we are made Christians. We're different. We are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, there's a continuance here. Once saved, always saved. I teach that. I believe that if you're truly his, but evidence to you that you're really his is that you'll continue. You'll continue. Don't let this cool Christian culture of you can do whatever you want to do and still be the Lord's. You can have as much of the world as you want, look like the world, behave like the world, and have Jesus too. Don't let that infiltrate your thinking. Don't let that thought penetrate your mind. It's a dangerous one. Is the grace of God there that I can abide in sin? Certainly not, Paul says in Romans 6. God forbid, perish the thought. Get rid of it, flush it down the toilet. It's dangerous doctrine. This isn't legalism. This isn't a thing of your old school. There is no old school and new school with the everlasting God. He's outside of all of that. This is the straight and narrow. Few are on, but it leads to eternal life. He goes on to say, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened from this. For we are made partakers in Christ, holding on with confidence, steadfast to the end. While it is said, verse 15, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. It's the sense of verse 16 is asked in a question. He says, for some, when they had heard, didn't they provoke? Question mark. Howbeit not all of them came out of Egypt by Moses, didn't they? Question mark. Like that's evidence of God's faithfulness. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, verse 17, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Carcass speaks of physical, our physical frames. These people were physically thinking and minded versus spiritually mindful and thinking. And it led them to perishing in the wilderness. And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left as of us not entering into his rest, any of you should come short of this. Listen, what's being said here, we'll handle chapter 4 next week, is the supreme act of disobedience is unbelief. What leads to unbelief is the deadness of your hearing, the hardening of your heart, wandering in the wilderness because you didn't believe God and what he had for you. There's a rest that he's called you into. There's a peace, a tranquility that is substantial and whole in God. It's beautiful and wonderful, but you've got to continue in the faith. I've re-come across this past week. I'm the type of guy that starts a book, gets 100 pages in, and starts a new book. I got 4 books going right now, and one of them that I'm revisiting is Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I don't know if you've read it before, but you should if you haven't. I'm actually planning to reread it to my children in a children's edition. They have it in that way too. And in this book, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan addresses this very topic about a life that is beginning to waver in its commitment and grow cold in its interest toward God, of God. And I thought how appropriate it is to insert here at this portion of my message, sort of the several points that he gives that are telltale signs that that's you before it's too late. In other words, I'm not just preaching this message to give information. I'm not just preaching this message to just sort of, you know, fill time. The sermon's done. It's been a half hour. Okay, we can close now. I'm preaching this sermon believing that it's the living word of God and that you are the living children of God so that you can take what's being spoken, receive it, and apply it to your life. How better can I have you apply this message to your life? Well, I've got a lot of avenues I can go down. I could take almost every verse and make it a sermon. I could preach on the deceitfulness of sin. I could talk about hearing with your ear and the 7 letters to the 7 churches in Revelation. When every letter closes, what he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the church. I can preach on exhorting one another daily, which I'll come back to from verse 13 in just a few minutes. But I think the best way, with a time constraint, to finish this message to give you application, so that this is not a thing of just information, but that leads to transformation, is to share this neat, tidy list that Bunyan gives from Pilgrim's Progress. How can I detect this morning that I might be in a position of beginning to waver my commitment to God, and that perhaps I'm growing cold in my interest of God, and I don't even realize it? May these things wake you this morning and maybe even shake you. They have me. I'm convicted to read them to you, but I'm doing it with trembling knees and a broken heart. And the only reason that I'm even sharing them at the sake of being condemning is because I know that in the depths of my heart, I love you and I've been praying for you. I was on my knees for you this morning, and I say this, birth out of love, not condemnation, although it will convict the most of you. He says, a life that's beginning to waver in its commitment and grow cold in its interest, and some of these things I put my own twist on, but the message will be conveyed accurately, is number one this, there will be a forgetfulness of God and a forgetfulness that one day we're going to meet him. Sure, you're mindful of God right now because I'm yelling at you about God and yelling to you about the things of God, and the worship music is centered on God, and everything here is about Jesus. So it's easy to be mindful of God in this moment. But Bunyan is speaking about a life outside of these four walls where your Sunday afternoon, perhaps, or maybe Monday morning into Saturday evening, is primarily thoughtless about the Lord. He's rarely in your thinking. He's rarely in your thinking of not only in this life, but in the life to come that you're one day soon, perhaps, going to stand before him. In other words, we are called in Scripture to live in his presence in the present. We are called to practice his presence. David in Psalm 139 said, Lord, where can I go from your presence? If I descend low to the ground, you're there. If I ascend into the heavens, Lord, you are there. If I go east or west, God, you are there. He practiced the presence of God. You know that you're beginning to waver. You know that your heart is beginning to become sort of cold and perhaps even callous and maybe even indifferent to the things of God, at least comparatively to what it was in the beginning, which will lead to your demise, dead ear, hard heart, wandering life, when I'm no longer really thinking about what's supposed to be my first love. Nobody's got to tell me to think about Shauna. Nobody's got to tell me to think about my children. Nobody's got to remind me at the end of the day I'm going to go home and put a face with the name. That's always at the front of my mind because those are the ones that I love the most on this side of eternity. Do you love God? If you love God, you'll think about God. If you love God, you'll realize that everything you do, that one day you're going to stand before him. Or is everything temporal for you? Is everything about bigger and better now? Better homes, bigger 401k, more money in the bank, more security here, more set up there, more toys to play with. None of those things are bad. I'm not condemning one of them. Just make sure that God is in the center. Just make sure that God is number one. Bunyan says that is a key indication that you're beginning to waver in your commitment to the Lord and your interest of him and toward him is growing cold. Number two, he says, there'll be a gradual loss of private holiness, of private prayer, and the curbing of lust and genuine sorrow over your sins. Private holiness. Remember when you first came to Christ? Again, if you're here this morning visiting, if you're here this morning, you're not a believer, you cannot even listen to these things. They're not for you. I'm speaking to the bride of Christ. In some ways, this is a rebuke to all of us. Remember when you first came to Jesus, the private holiness that was taking place in your life. Holy, H-O-L-Y, you are to be holy for the Lord your God is holy. What does it mean? To be holy his, W-H-O-L-L-Y. You are all the Lord's. Remember when you were alone? Nobody else was around when you first got saved and you lived in such a way that you recognized that I am the Lord's. I am blood bought. I was bought with a price. Start to drift from that. Private prayer. Your prayer life when you first came to Christ. When you first started with Jesus. Everything you prayed about. You didn't know what was silly to pray for and what wasn't. You didn't even really know how to pray. You would regard Jesus and the Father as one and you didn't even really know how to address it or close it or anything. You just sort of did the best you could. And everything was a matter of prayer. Not anymore. Private prayer has become a lost art. Still on my second point, he says, thirdly, in that second point, the curbing of lust. The curbing of lust. You come to Jesus, man, you still got those affections, those desires of your person before Christ. That man never goes away. He never goes away. That's why you got to crucify him daily. And when you first come to Christ, man, you're constantly at that tree. If you're anything like me, you're at that tree, putting the wrist pinned there to that tree, the feet there pinned to that tree, saying you are dead, reckoning that old man to be dead, not allowing him, her, to have their way, their desires like you used to do. But when there's this lack of continuance, this lack of devotion, I'm no longer curbing my lust the way I once did. I'm no longer sorrowful over my sins. Came back to Jesus when I was a teenager and I couldn't walk in the church parking lot from my truck without picking up a cigarette butt. Now I walk by and I think, those stinking Christians. Not really, but you know what I'm talking about. There was like a true brokenness and sorrow. Lord, I just sinned. I just offended you. I just wronged you. I just grieved you. But as time goes on, we could, if we're not careful, lose that. Not really bothered anymore. He's gracious. He forgives. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. See, one of the things that's deceitful about sin, real quick, before we go to our next point, is that sin hardens slowly, incrementally, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. So the results of sin that makes sin deceitful sometimes aren't always quickly impactful. The consequences of what I'm doing now maybe isn't going to be felt for another few weeks, few months, maybe another few years, who knows? Either which way, there's sometimes a delay in the consequences and in the action. So the deceitfulness of sin is I'm getting away with it. The deceitfulness of sin is God's winking at it. He thinks it's cute. I've just been around Christianity too long to sit here and preach Monday messages. I've just seen so many come and so many go, and this brother's walking, this person's not a brother, they denounce Jesus Christ, they're not Christian, they went back to some other religion, or we had a guy here years ago, he's a universalist now, he marries people in the nude. I mean, crazy, messed up things. How does it happen? Ears get hardened, deafened, hearts get hardened, start wandering, you're aimless, you're purposeless, and you get stupid. Got too much Jesus to enjoy the world, you got too much world to enjoy Jesus. You came to Christ, but you're not continuing in Christ. Little by little by little. This is life. You grab these things, this is everything. The Word of God, it's speaking to us this morning. Thirdly, he says, you know you're beginning to waver in your commitment and in your interest of God when you start to avoid lively Christians. I like that one. You don't mind being around half-dead Christians, right? The graveyard will be somewhat soothing to you, if you would, speaking of spiritual people, of Christians. You don't mind being around those types of people, but the fanatics, quote unquote, you know, the people that raise their hand at church, you know, the people that you're out to dinner with, lunch with, and when they pay the bill, they put a track with the bill. You're embarrassed for your waiter or waitress to come and get it. You want to leave the table before the waiter or waitress comes because they're too fanatical for you. You don't want to be around them. You know you're on a dangerous, slippery slope downward when there are fanatical people. There's too much Jesus. Everything they do. I see them at Home Depot. They want, hey, praise the Lord, brother. I see them at the gym. I see them at Wegmans. They want to pray with me. I'm speaking of this is what I get convicted by sometimes. People think because I'm a pastor, all I ever want to do is talk about Jesus, the things of God. And sometimes they think, I'm going to go down this aisle because I just don't want to do that sometimes. You know what I'm speaking about in all sincerity. You don't mind being around half-dead Christians. They're not going to bring conviction to your life. But the fanatics, you got to stay away from them. Prophetic in what he's saying here. Fourthly, there'll be a disinterest in public worship. You might think, well, I got that one down because I'm here. Right, but Jesus said, echoing Isaiah, that you draw near with your mouth, but you're far from me in your heart. Your relationship, your pursuit of me is skin deep. I'm after your heart. Sends chills right down my spine. Because it's my mouth that I use most in church, clearly. I could preach the Word of God, and my whole thing that I'm preaching, you could be skin deep, mouth deep. And God's not after my mouth or my skin, he's after my heart. How about you this morning? You might be here, but you're disinterested in what's going on. You might be here drawing near with your mouth, but your heart is far from the Lord. You're not really participating in the worship. You're not really giving your ear to the hearing of God's word. You're here for ulterior reasons, and only you know and only God knows. It's dangerous. Wake from that sleep. Number five, you start to just fault find with others. You know, you're here in the presence of God. The word of God goes forth, but all you can do is fault find, which is an indication to you that something is wrong on another level. When all you can do when you gather together with the people of God is fault find instead of fruit find. You just, everything bothers you. This person worships God this way. This person doesn't worship God at all, and they're a hypocrite. And how I know is because I saw what they posted last night. They don't really love the Lord like they're acting like they love the Lord. Listen, I'm really sick and fed up of hearing about Christians that are hypocrites. Everybody to some degree has hypocrisy in their lives. Jesus did not ask us to stare and watch and glance at everything that man does. He asked us to look at him, the author and finisher of our faith. We should be examples. I'm not dismissing myself of that. I'm not excusing myself. But to have the reason that I'm not going to follow Jesus because all the people that follow Jesus are hypocrites is foolishness. Heaven is going to be filled with hypocrites, and hell is going to be filled with hypocrites. You can pick and choose where you want to go accordingly. Hypocrisy is not a real hiccup to follow the Lord. It shouldn't be. He's given you no reason. The fault finding among the body of Christ has to stop. This group of people are cliquey. Listen, Jesus had an inner circle. Peter, James, and John, you three come. Everybody else, stay there. Would you call that cliquey? I'm not going to call Jesus cliquey. If you nod your head, you call them cliquey. But you get what I'm saying. He had an inner circle. John, right? These guys were family to him. Family. There's a close inner circle. There is that even in Scripture. We see it all the way through. But even still, what are you going to do? You're gonna criticize and have this judgment towards the body of Christ here and go where? Where there aren't cliques? Where's that? Where can you go where there aren't cliques? Or this person is this way, and they bother me because they do this or do that. Listen, if people are always bothering you here, they'll bother you there.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.